And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. We pray that you are having a wonderful holiday week. You know, July the 4th was yesterday. I'm sure a lot of people just went ahead and took off Friday as well. And so if that is you, I pray that you would stay safe. You would celebrate wonderfully and enjoy the freedoms that we have here in America to worship God as he deserves to be worshiped. So do be safe. I do hope that you will make worshiping God part of your celebration, because it doesn't matter how free you are physically, if you are still in bondage spiritually, you've got problems that you need to deal with. And so we pray that you are not only celebrating independence of our country, but you are also celebrating the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. So we are going to be at Sunday school 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. Worship will be at 10:30. And we would be thrilled if you were able to come and worship with us. So today we're going to go into the Word of God, starting a new topic today as far as an area that God wants to teach us about. And we're going to be into the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. You would find a similar passage in the Beatitudes. And so we're going to be looking at Luke, chapter 11, verse number 1. So let me begin reading there, and we'll read on down. There's a lot. I'm going to go through the first 13 verses here, because that's where all of these things have to do with the topic of prayer, which is what we're going to be discussing for the next several programs. Now it came to pass, as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.'" And in Matthew it says, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So verse 5 continues, "And he said to them, 'Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give it to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, or will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So here in chapter 11, we see that part of the instructional process of being a child of God is that God wants us to know how to pray. So let me make that a little more easily understood. And that is this: God wants to teach us how to communicate with him on a regular basis. If you ask anyone about what most of the problems in marriages are about, it's about communication issues. There can be other things, but when you boil it all down, it has to do with communication. Bad communication or poor communication, inadequate communication, can foster an environment where many things that are damaging to the relationship take place simply because there is no communication. So I was on a practice range, a golf practice range, many years ago. There weren't many of us there at that particular time. And I don't remember if I was getting ready to play a round of golf, or I hadn't played in a while, and I was out there just seeing if I could remember which end of the club to grab or whatever. I don't remember the reason for me being there. I could have been getting warmed up before I went out to play. But there were two other guys that were there, and they knew one another. And one of them was talking about something they were wanting to buy, but the wife wasn't on board with it. And the other person was trying to offer him some advice on how to skirt the need for communication with the wife in order to make the purchase that the guy was wanting to make. And I don't remember what it was, but it wasn't going to be an insubstantial financial involvement. It was a chunk of change. It involved a few numbers, but the wife wasn't on board with it. And so as this guy is talking to his friend, he suggests the way to get around that is not to have better communication, but to try and circumvent the communication process altogether. And I'm sitting there, and I don't remember how my golf shot was that day, but I remember this gentleman is giving very, very poor advice for the health of this man's marriage. Communication is very important between husband and wife. Communication is important between children and their parents. Communication is important between teachers and their students, between employers and their employees. And communication is extremely important when it comes to our relationship with God. So, if I were to go into a group of people, if I were to ask, walk into a church, and I was just going to pick a person at random and ask them to pray, statistics tell me that I would have a greater likelihood of being rejected for a random selection process where I don't know anyone, that more people would turn down that invitation than would accept it. There are a lot of people who do not like to pray in a public manner. And so let's dive into Luke chapter 1 here, and I'll show you the first thing here today that is very important. It says, "Now it came to pass as he was praying," Jesus was praying, "in a certain place when he ceased." In other words, Jesus was not asked to teach his disciples to pray from a theoretical basis. He was asked to teach his disciples to pray because they caught him praying. And when Jesus prays, first of all, you know this, when he prays, he's going to pray according to the will of God. He's going to pray in a very effective manner. He's going to pray in a manner in which he is heard. And when he is heard, that prayer is going to be answered. And so as we are tasked with the responsibility of being disciples who make disciples who make disciples, that one of the things that we need to have is we had need to have a well-developed hotline to heaven, if you will. Our communication with God should be something that we not just talk about, but something that we do. I've got a friend of mine, and he has been a minister for a long time, and he said that one of the things that impacted him the most is when he was a relatively new believer, that he had a pastor of a very small church, and he knew that he would be able to catch that person praying. Daniel was a person that in the Old Testament was of great value in his service to these foreign kings. He had been carried off as a captive. And so under the reign of King Darius, some of his contemporaries were quite jealous of Daniel's rise in prominence and influence. And so they set a trap, and they had a law passed that would banish praying. Okay? And they knew that in doing so, that they would catch Daniel violating this edict of the king, because they knew where he prayed, they knew when he prayed, and so they set up an ambush so that they could catch him in the act of praying. And most of us are probably not old enough to remember when you could actually pray in public schools. I am, but a majority of Brevard County probably doesn't remember. And I'm here to tell you that it's been said before that as long as there are tests, there is going to be praying in school, because people want to have all the help they can get whenever they are taking an exam. So my daughter, many years ago, she was at this school, and she came home and said, "Dad, my teacher has told us that we're not to pray before we take our test." And because I was the pastor of the church, that led to me having a meeting with the teacher. And the conversation went like this: "We're trying to instill in our daughter the importance of prayer. Why are you instructing my daughter not to pray?" And he went on and he said, "Well, a lot of the students are praying for the ability to pass the test when they're not studying for the ability to pass the test. And they're treating prayer as a rescue attempt rather than working and trying to achieve a result. And he said, by the way, I'm a Christian. I go to such and such a church. And I have since learned through, you know, many interactions with people that just because a person tells you that they go to church doesn't mean that they're going to act in a Christian manner. I'm not saying anything about this person, but I had another interaction with an individual, and they treated me as if everything was just peachy keen. After all, I'm a Christian and I go to this church. And then to find out that the person twisted, contorted, and manufactured a bunch of things that I never said, and presented me in an extreme manner, and created some serious complications for other people because of what they did to me. And so you'll have to forgive me if whenever I have a conversation with somebody, just because they have a proclamation that they're a believer, that I'm looking for the evidence. And so make sure that, you know, if you claim to be a Christian, make sure that there is enough evidence there to substantiate that claim. And one of those pieces of evidence should be that you are a person of prayer. And I'm proud to say that daughter I was talking about, that she learned how to pray. She not only became a person who learned how to pray, she prayed about every decision. And so at one point in time, a friend of hers, who was also a Christian, was telling her about this purchase that she was going to make. And my daughter responded to her and said, "Have you prayed about this?" And the person's response was, "No, I haven't prayed about it. I just assume that God is going to provide." Well, that lifestyle, that presumption, ended up creating a lot of challenges that person came to regret. And I believe now is much more diligent in praying about the decisions that she makes, not just when it comes to spiritual matters, but financial and relational and all sorts of things. You see, when Jesus teaches the disciples to pray, it is not just about spiritual things. God has a lot to say to us. He has a lot to say to us in His Word, and He has a lot to say to us in prayer concerning the areas of life if we will listen to Him. So Jesus was not teaching the philosophy of prayer. He was teaching in an authoritative manner because of his experience in communicating with the Father. So when they asked Him, "Why do you do these things?" He said, "I only do the things that I see my Father doing." They said, "Well, why do you say these things?" And He said, "I only speak the things that I hear my Father speaking." And so in this passage and other passages in the New Testament, Jesus had a place of prayer. He had a time of prayer. He made a priority of prayer. Even when ministry was pressing down upon Him and crowds were swelling and things like that, He would go by Himself to a place and pray where He could communicate with God. And the disciples noticed that there was something different about His prayers. He wasn't standing there and pounding His chest and lifting His voice in such a way that everybody was impressed with His semantic capabilities. It wasn't that He was just praying things that He had repeated over and over and over again. He was actually having a conversation with God. So back at Father's Day, I was sharing a little bit on the desire that we should have, the appetite we should have for communicating with God. And a lot of people are intimidated about praying publicly. And I said, thou dost not have to pray in the King's English. Thou canest if thou wantest to, but it is not required. You and I need to realize, and we'll talk about this more as we get along, that we don't have to adopt an unfamiliar culture of communication in order to talk to God. God understands the language that we speak. He understands the context in which we live. And he also is aware of everything that we have need of before we even ask. So the disciples notice the authority and the type of prayer and the priority of prayer in Jesus' life. And they say, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And so we see that if you and I are going to be disciples, that along our journey, we need to have people who are experienced in prayer showing us what it is like to pray. And then they're saying, could you teach us to pray? So, I pray that in your Christian walk, that your children or your grandchildren will catch you in the act. They will catch you in the act of praying, that your voice can be heard in the halls of heaven, but it can also be heard in the halls of your home, that will create a spiritual appetite in your family members so that they will want to know how to pray. The best way to gain experience in prayer is not from an intellectual mindset, but in joining someone in the journey and saying, let's talk to God about this. A lot of people will use prayer as a means of last resort. I heard a story one time, and things were in a very desperate situation, and a group of people were sitting around, and they said, well, what should we do? And a person said, well, we could do this. And they said, well, we've already tried that. And another person said, well, we could do this. And they said, well, we've already tried that as well. And they went around the room, and everything that people suggested, they had already tried. And someone finally spoke up and said, we could pray. And they got silent in the room, and finally one of the people said, has it come down to that? Have we exhausted all of our other means to where the only alternative that we have is to call upon the name of the Lord? And as children of God, we need to be able to flip that script, where prayer is the means that we turn to first, not our last alternative. It is our first alternative. And so you don't see too much about John the Baptist ministry as far as how he trained his disciples, but not only did he have a legacy of drawing crowds out into the wilderness and upsetting the spiritual apple cart, if you will, among the people who were very complacent and comfortable in their bondage, because their position was not nearly as bad as other people's position. He had a reputation for preaching holiness in an atmosphere where there was marital situations going on that shouldn't have been going on. This question indicates that along with all of those other things that John was known for, that he was also known for passing on to the people who were sitting under his teaching, let's talk to God. So, again, at Father's Day, I was talking about this, and I was sharing with our congregation that when I am addressing, whether it was one of my children or whether it was addressing one of my grandchildren, that I don't go to them and expect them to be able to communicate with me on my level. They're young, they're growing, their communication skills are improving, but communication with those very, very young human beings means I come down to their level. And I understand some things that they don't understand, but when the communication happens, I come down and address them. And so at a birthday party right before that, one of the things that I remember about that particular day was a grandson who's very young, and he picked up a hat and he said, "Hat, hat." And so the communication that day was, I've learned to identify and connect a word with the object and also what to do with it, because he could put it on his head as well. Wherever you are at today, I don't care if you've been a Christian for a short period of time or a long period of time, I pray that all of us would realize that Jesus is much more of an expert in communicating in prayer than what we are, and that we still have much to learn. So I pray that you would join us on this journey as we say, God, would you teach us to pray? Teach us to have healthy and holy communication with the lover of our soul, the Savior who shed his blood, the one who wants his very best for us. God, teach us to pray. You have a fantastic weekend. We'll either see you in church or we'll be back here Monday on the Refresh Radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Waylon Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Waylon specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Waylon Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit waylonduff.kw.com. Realty.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.